TSA didn't follow the law when introducing body scanners. A defector says Libya was behind the bombing of UTA Flight 772. And Airbus may force Boeing to change its product strategy. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 20th, 2011. As a result of a lawsuit brought by EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that the TSA violated federal law when it installed body scanners in airports for primary screening across the country without first soliciting public comment. The Administrative Procedure Act requires federal agencies to provide notice and opportunity for comment when implementing a rule that affects the rights of the public. EPIC argued that the Department of Homeland Security, quote, has initiated the most sweeping, the most invasive, and the most unaccountable, suspicionless search of American travelers in history, unquote. Judge Ginsburg, writing for the Circuit Court of Appeals, agreed with EPIC, quote, it is clear that by producing an image of the unclothed passenger, a scanner intrudes upon his or her personal privacy in a way a magnetometer does not. Indeed, few, if any, regulatory procedures imposed directly and significantly upon so many members of the public, unquote. The court concluded that TSA, quote, has not justified its failure to initiate notice and comment rulemaking before announcing it would use AIT scanners for primary screening, unquote. It's unclear whether either party will appeal the ruling or whether TSA will attempt to ignore it completely. In a related suit against the United States Marshal Service, EPIC also obtained 35,000 stored images from a single body scanner operated in a courthouse. A former top Libyan official who defected from the government in March says Muammar Gaddafi ordered a deadly attack on a French airliner in 1989 because he thought a political rival was on board. In an interview published this week, Abdel Rahman Shalgam, who defected in March while serving as Libya's representative to the United Nations, told the Al Hayat newspaper Libyan security forces detonated explosives based on their belief that opposition leader Mohamed al-Maghrif was on board. They later discovered the intel was erroneous, but 170 passengers and crew members died when UTA Flight 772, a DC-10, crashed in Niger on September 19, 1989, while on a flight to Paris from Brazzaville in the Republic of the Congo. 2 years ago, a French court sentenced six Libyan agents who did not appear for their trial to life in prison. Gaddafi has never admitted involvement, but did agree to pay $170 million in reparations to the families of the victims. Shalgam also said Libya was involved in the infamous bombing of Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988, but that it was not a purely Libyan operation. The Sikorsky X-2 technology demonstrator has been retired from flying, so don't expect any 250-knot low passes at AirVenture, but it will be there on static display. Sikorsky Innovation says it plans to display its popular X-2 and Project Firefly demonstrators at Oshkosh. Additionally, Sergei Sikorsky, the son of company founder Igor Sikorsky, is scheduled to appear and present stories of his father's aviation successes, which included creating the first single-rotor mass-produced helicopter. Chief pilots and engineers from the X-2 and Project Firefly teams will also conduct forums. The X-2 achieved the company's four performance objectives for the program: low single-pilot workload, low vibration, low acoustic signature, and high speed. Project Firefly is an all-electric helicopter technology demonstrator based on an S-300C with a high-efficiency 200-horsepower electric motor and lithium-ion batteries. Airborne Wi-Fi provider Aircell says it has officially changed its name to Gogo. Company officials say the brand's new look and feel portrays Gogo as more than just a connectivity company and will help in its evolution from a connectivity provider to an in-air e-commerce and media brand. The company will continue to use the Aircell name in reference to its business, Aviation Group. Industry analysts say Boeing may be taking the success of its popular 737 too much for granted, and that the recent surge in sales for the Airbus A320neo, as in new engine option, may force the U.S. manufacturer to change its product development strategy. Airbus has introduced new engine options for its single-aisle A320 to increase fuel efficiency and was rewarded with 660 orders for the A320neo at this year's Paris Air Show. Boeing's strategy has been an all-new aircraft eventually that jumps ahead of the A320neo in efficiency, but it's not clear customers will wait. American Airlines, which has bought only Boeing planes for 15 years, is said to be considering its options. Even Southwest Airlines, which has built a fleet based solely on the 737 to increase training and maintenance efficiency, has hinted it could look at Airbus in future purchases. The Puget Sound Business Journal points out that re-engining the existing 737NG would guarantee work for Boeing's plant in Renton, Washington for a few more years, but would also require a new plant for the new version of the plane to follow. Given Boeing's recent expansion in South Carolina, there's no guarantee that Boeing's best-selling plane of all time would remain a product of the Pacific Northwest. Still ahead, Pilatus is proud to see the PC-12 used to ship a satellite. International air races sure have changed. And the iPhone 4 has an airplane mode you won't believe. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 20th. I'm Paul Platt. The original Moraine-Saulnier-Paris-Madrid air race in 1911 was a daredevil sport for competitors, and just finishing the race was considered an ambitious goal. The centennial was observed with the Paris-Madrid Green Air Challenge, seeing not just who could finish and how fast, but how efficiently and quietly planes could be made to fly. Competitors ranged from high-tech composite motor gliders to a Cessna 150. As ANN reported, Pipistrel finished first and third with glider-derived designs, but Flight Design is hailing its second-place overall finish and first in the airplane class as evidence of the superiority of the design of its popular CTLS. Not everyone thinks of an LSA as a first choice for international flights, but the CTLS is a very capable aircraft, especially compared to the craft entered in the original event. In the 1911 Moraine-Saulnier Paris to Madrid race, 21 teams entered, but only six were able to depart at race time. The winner, Jules Vedrine, was the only pilot to finish the race, which he did in 15 hours, for an average speed of about 51 miles per hour. Pilatus Business Aircraft says a charter operator of its PC-12 single-engine turboprop, Mayo Aviation, was recently contracted to move a one-of-a-kind satellite across the U.S. William Mayo III explained, quote, "When we were first contacted to discuss the specific requirements, we quickly realized that the payload, range, and cargo loading capabilities of our PC-12NG were a truly unique combination ideally suited to this task." Unquote. Introduced in 1994, the PC-12 offers the capability to take off and land on short grass airstrips, the largest cabin in this class at 9 seats, and range of up to 1,560 nautical miles. During the last 16 years, over 1,000 PC-12s have been sold worldwide. Pilatus says its PC-12NG offers a class-leading combination of efficiency, performance, and versatility, which has enabled it to hold exceptional market share despite the continued economic uncertainty, and calls the single turbine a cost-effective and highly defensible business travel solution. And defensible may say it all, given the latest rhetoric from our president on corporate jet owners. The city of Midlothian, Texas, promises an aviation extravaganza featuring 40 magnificent, colorful hot air balloons at this weekend's DFW Summer Balloon Classic and Airfest. The event takes place at Midway Regional Airport, minutes south of Dallas and Fort Worth in Midlothian, July 22nd through the 24th. Admission is free to the public with $10 per vehicle parking. The hot air balloons are the stars of the show with twice-daily mass ascensions. The Balloon Federation of America has chosen this event to host the Texas State Championship. Saturday afternoon's air show is titled Midway to the Skies and includes formation flights and aerobatic performances. Kate Kyer and current ARC champion Julia Wood, both airline captains, will compete. In a novel husband-against-wife event, Julia will fly with husband Tony Wood in his Turbo Shark, leading teams of two in dramatic aerobatic maneuvers in a timed sequence. Other attractions include skydivers, helicopters, a variety of airplanes, military aircraft, the Commemorative Air Force, Cold War Museum, powered hang gliders, powered parachutes, radio control aircraft, and more, in static displays, demonstrations, and flyovers. Flights will be available to the public in helicopters, airplanes, a B-25, a Stearman, and tethered balloons. Get more details at summerballoonclassic.com. And finally today, the Apple iPhone isn't known for holding up all that well under physical abuse. CNN reports that Jared McKinney's iPhone 4 was knocked from a shelf in his bathroom by his 2-year-old, and he was disheartened to find the glass broken. He put that same iPhone 4 in a zippered pants pocket of his skydiving suit for a jump from 13,500 feet, intending to use it after he landed to get video of his wife, who was jumping behind him. But when he got to the ground, he discovered he'd forgotten to zip the pocket shut, and the phone was gone. The 37-year-old McKinney recounts, quote, "I was actually really bumming because I've lost a phone in the past, and I usually just have a ton of photos and videos of my kids on the phone. I just knew it was gone. Falling from that height? What are the chances of you finding something like that or even knowing where to look?" Unquote. Well, tracking the phone's trajectory using a GPS app led to a 2-story building. Skydiving instructor Joe Johnson tells CNN he and a few friends watched from the ground as McKinney found the shattered phone on the building's roof and raised it above his head in triumph. Johnson decided to call the phone's number. The phone vibrated, and its amazed owner answered. That's right. The phone isn't very practical to use, with its touchscreens shattered, but McKinney says he can still use it to take calls in his truck with a Bluetooth headset. He said he plans to get the screen fixed. And in fairness to AT&T, no, this does not count as a dropped call. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.